Yeah, enhancement of hatchery production. This is a briefing. Ron?
Thank you, Vice Chair Carpenter. Ron Warren with Fish Program. Commissioners, at your last meeting, you requested this. It's very important that we go through and talk about the different components of what we're trying to do to achieve the realistic target of 50 million Chinook, 30 in Puget Sound, and 20 in the Columbia River. The components that we are looking at are where we have existing capacity, where we have the ability to modify facilities, where we have partnerships with others, both PUDs, other federal agencies, privately owned facilities, those types of scenarios, and then any capital, new construction, or major modifications to existing facilities or others. And those include our own, as well as the tribal facilities within those areas. We've reached out and have been talking to them. So all in an effort to achieve the realistic target of 50 million Chinook, 30 in Puget Sound, 20 in the Columbia River. So I'd like to start off. I know that it's a major importance to us all of this plan to try to increase spring Chinook in the Snake River. I know that Chris Donnelly, our Region 1 Fish Program Manager, has been having ongoing conversations with Idaho and the Nez Perce Tribe. Those, although aren't at the level of production that we were hoping for, we do believe there's room there to increase production possibly by 500,000 to 600,000, and we continue to walk through that, have conversations about that, and try to determine how those programs would function with the state of Idaho and the our co-managers. So that's the update we have right now. You're probably not going to see that in any proposals because we don't have finite information on it, but I wanted to provide that information first before I turned it over to Eric Kinney. I will pause there prior to turning it over and see if any of the commissioners have questions.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Thank you, Ron Warren, for that update. One of the things that was very important when the original listing of the 50 million, approximately 50 million, went forward had to do with impacts on wild fish and to provide protection for the wild fish. So in this matter of spring Chinook upriver, the little bit that I've heard about this did involve some examination of location and providing some sort of assurance that we're not planning, if this was to go forward, it would not amount to releasing smolts on top of wild spawning Chinook populations or in an area where they would be expected to have a heavy stray rate and impact the nearby populations. So I wonder if you could speak a little bit to the location of this 500,000 or 600,000 that I think you're indicating is a capacity that's there that could be filled if there was broodstock. But anyway, some sort of information on whether or not this provides a kind of safety to wild fish that is in place for the balance of the selection of stock scenarios.
Yeah, thanks, Commissioner McIsaac. This is Eric Kinney. So I've been having ongoing conversations with Nez Perce and Idaho Fish and Game, and it looks like there's potential for some production out of Dvorak. They did some density studies to try and increase densities within their hatchery production to see if it affected survival. It didn't have an effect on survival, and survival was similar, and so it increased the number of adults returning. And so it's looking like they potentially could increase upwards of between 500,000 and 600,000 there. I've also had conversations this week. I was down at the Fish Culture Conference in Portland this week, and with Idaho Fish and Game, and they're reviewing all of their hatchery programs, where they have space, and there's some potential for another maybe 500,000 to 600,000 in Idaho as well, but they're looking at it to make sure that it's not impacting any, you know, ESA listed species or any of that, any of their stocks. One of the concerns about any of this production increases in the snake for spring Chinook is broodstock limited. So in the past, they haven't met their goals in recent years because of limited broodstock in specific areas. They have increased production over the last 3 to 4 years by about 3 million additional production in the snake for spring Chinook to fill up a lot of that capacity. So there has been some major increases over the last number of years. Went from 10 million to 13 million about 4 years ago.
Just as a follow-up on that, when I had an initial discussion with Mr. Donnelly, he said the Clearwater area was one of the prime candidates for some enhancement, and that there was not a wild fish population in the Clearwater River, and a review of Cotawire tags, he felt, had shown that the stray rate was very low for fish that had been released in that area. Have you all had a chance to validate that initial thought?
So that's what I've been working with Idaho on, and that's what they're looking at right now to make sure that if they increase production in the Clearwater, that it doesn't affect other populations. So, yes.
Any other questions?
So, Commissioner
McIsaac, if there aren't any other questions... Yeah, if there aren't any other questions, I just want to say thanks to the staff for this kind of creative thinking. I think this is very good work, and unless there's any objection from any of the commissioners, I think it'd be good for staff to continue to include this as a component within the 15 million target, both short and long term, and that we begin some discussions with our co-managers in Idaho and Nez Perce and the National Marine Fisheries Service about implementation possibilities, and of course coordinate with the governor's office as well in concert with the task force recommendations. But essentially, if there isn't any objection from any of the other commissioners, that we start to include this component in our planning to move forward on this initiative.
Are there any objections from the commission?
Well, this is Commissioner Thorburn. I'm not sure what component we're including. I'm not clear on what's being suggested.
Well, in my mind, it would be the general concept of including spring Chinook in the Snake River as one of the elements to fit inside the 50 million. That was not on the original list that came forward, so this would be an additive genetic strain and additive location. This would still fit under the 50 million general target because I think the original list had some Kalama false Chinook that in fact were not really an increase. They were holding on to an existing program. But anyway, the concept here would be should
Thanks.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Any other discussion on that item? Okay, hearing none, we'll move forward. Eric, do you have more to address, I assume?
So before I hand it off to Eric, I just as a general reminder, all of our actions, we should be hearing soon from Governor from recommendations. I don't want to try to speak for our policy people that have been working so hard on the Southern Resident Orca Task Force and working on recommendations and packages for the governor's office, but I would like to thank them. They've done yeoman's work in not only what they've done so far, but communicating throughout the agency to assure that we all know what's going on. So to Amy Windrup and Penny Becker and the folks that are working on all of the committees surely appreciate that, because our efforts in trying to raise and figure out how to achieve this goal is the benefit for the southern resident population, and I just think it's important to keep our eye on that ball.
Yeah, Larry, this is Brad.
Brad.
Ron, thoughts? I too want to thank Amy and Penny. They did outstanding work at the meetings and exhibited true leadership and really made the department look shine in a very favorable light. So kudos.
Thank you for that, Chair. And so with that, I'll turn it over to Eric.
So before Eric starts, Commissioner Thorburn, I have a question.
Commissioner Thorburn.
Perhaps this is going to become clear in our discussion, but so we have, I have this spreadsheet with the three different pages that are three different amounts of increased Chatree production, the proviso, the 50 million, and then the Southern Resident Killer Whale Task Force, and the governor's obviously looking at the task force recommendations and is going to make some sort of decision. What does that then do to what the action we've taken?
Commissioner Thorburn, Ron Warren here. So we have been striving to stay connected with the governor's office. We're certainly connected to the task force recommendations, and that we're trying to and have put packages together that would, especially on that third one that you talked about that's titled WDF&W Southern Resident Orca Production Task Force Recommendation Number 6, that particular item should fold into recommendations and is our first attempt within capacity that we could do and continue to work on to achieve authority to put in place, both with Puget Sound and other co-managers, as well as our federal authorities in achieving operational permits to continue to operate under those new production levels. So I think what you'll see, what you'll hear from Eric is how each of these have been structured and how we've been mindful to make every attempt to leave ourselves the latitude to fit into the recommendations and to the other processes that are ongoing.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Eric?
So good morning, commissioners. So what I wanted to walk through first was the capacity table to make sure that everybody understands what's in this table. So if we start working from left to right, but on the table, the species, the CK is Chinook, and down below you'll see some coho and chum. The run is the run type of Chinook primarily, which is fall, spring, and summer. Facilities is kind of self-explanatory. Those are the facilities within WDFW's purview that where we would increase production or where we have capacity or don't have capacity. And just want to make sure everybody's clear, and there's a footnote at the bottom, but when we looked at, this is primarily Chinook, all the production that we do for Chinook, and then the coho and chum are only places that we were looking to increase production for those two species. Working our way across the table, the plant goal is the current FBD plant numbers that were authorized. Future brood document, which is a co-managed document that lays out what our production goals are. The increases are part of the budget proposals, and I'll walk through those budget proposals here in a little bit. The increases are what's being proposed in the three different budget packages we have in place that's been sent across the street. And then the next column would be available space for increase, and that's the existing capacity beyond what's being proposed but realize there's some constraints around why we're not filling up that existing capacity or that additional capacity there. And so that's why there's some a little bit of capacity there around, I think, total around 5 million or nearly 5 million.
So Commissioner Thorburn again with a question.
Commissioner Thorburn.
Eric, you referred to the three different packages being sent over across the street, or however you put it. I thought the proviso, that funding was provided in this biennium, wasn't it, as part of the proviso?
Commissioner Thorburn, yes. That is, the proviso was provided for fiscal year 19, and that proviso will roll over into a biennial budget for next year. So it's the 837 times two.
We're making a request to have it roll over.
Yeah, we're making the request to have that rolled over.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
So, and then there's some other notes, you know, potential infrastructure needs. Some things are relying on, you know, Puyallup Hatchery to be rebuilt, which is underway. We had to build some capacity at Palmer Ponds for additional production out of Seuss Creek. Then just some other notes that are in here from ESA, HGMPs or HSRG, or co-manager issues. And then some other notes that may be pertaining to why or issues around increases that where we're not filling up space, like the Mitchell Act buy-up or other things, co-manager agreement. So that's that table, and I'll stop there and see if any commissioners have any questions around that.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. So just so that I can understand this, make sure that I do understand it, and I'll just use the top two lines there. So for Bingham Creek Hatchery, the capacity of the hatchery right now with no capital construction could produce 700,000 fall Chinook. Right now, perhaps due to budget cuts or co-manager input or something, the plant current situation is only at 200, so increased proposal and available space for increase are the two things I want to try to make sure I'm clear on. So it looks like there's 500,000 fall Chinook that could be increased at that facility without any construction, and that is listed in an increased proposal column. It's not listed in the available space for increase, but it seems like indeed it is. When I scroll over and see co-manager discussion needed, it would be that if this is included in the proposal to try to hit the $30 million for Puget Sound, but it's going to need some co-manager discussions that involves HGMPs and ESA talk with NIMS and this and that, to go forward. In contrast with Chambers Creek Hatchery, the very next one, that would say the current capacity is 200,000 in the facility as it stands with no capital construction increase, and so currently there's no increase, no space available to increase, and it does not fit into the proposal to try to shoot for 50 million in the near term. So am I interpreting those two rows properly when I say that?
So Commissioner Carpenter, Commissioner McIsaac, this is Ron, and you're interpreting that perfectly. Commissioners, please, I'll remind you that we do have a request for a $1 million master plan for next biennium to our capital budget, and we are in desperate need of that external assistance to look at all of these facilities with the help of NOAA and our co-managers in looking at where are the biggest benefits within the scientific framework that we have to operate to put this additional production in place. The only addition that I would add to your question, Commissioner McIsaac, is that if you scroll down to the coho section in that sheet, you'll see that Bingham Creek also has capacity for 300,000 additional coho, and that's an increased proposal in one of the three, and i.e. it's in the proviso piece, and so that's why that's there, so that different facilities can show different species within the spreadsheet. So it's just that we tried to focus on Chinook up above. There are coho and chum down below that are benefits to southern residents, as well as some fishing increases that could occur depending on our management objectives and recovery programs.
Commissioner Carpenter, it's Commissioner Thorburn again with a question.
Commissioner Thorburn.
Thank you. And thanks for that clarification, everyone. Mine also, looking at the notes column, buy-up calls for reduction meetings scheduled with NOAA for a couple of the larger productions. And so what is shown as capacity and plant goal is current, and the buy-up reduction would reduce those numbers?
That's correct, Commissioner Thorburn. This is Eric Kinney. The buy-up calls for, and this gets back to the Kalama, the Fowlard and Kalama are the two production that produces the 7 million tulies out of the Lower Columbia. And the buy-up calls for a 4.4 million reduction in that, in those programs. And so we have a meeting scheduled in early January to talk to NOAA Fisheries about those reductions that are called out in the buy-up.
Okay, thank you.
This is Commissioner
Ron,
Grant.
This is a, I'm sorry, go ahead. Who is that, please?
Commissioner Gray.
Commissioner Mack.
And then Commissioner. Good morning, David. Go ahead.
Yes. On in the notes, or not the notes section, but I see policy limitations listed next to a couple of these hatcheries, and I wonder what policy that's referring to.
So, Commissioner Grayville, Ron Warren, so we have a Willapaw Bay management policy in which the commission seems to cap our production based on our hatchery and fishery reform policy, as well as HSRG guiding principles. And so that was just our way of saying that we don't have an ability at this time to modify that production because of the policies that are in place.
Perfect. Thank you, Ron.
You bet.
Commissioner.
Ron, this is Commissioner Carpenter. I guess I'd like to ask a question about strategy. If I look at this first page, for example, the one that several of them actually caught my eye, that the North Toodle and then the Marble Mountain, pretty significant available space for increase issues. Have you guys had a chance to involve yourself in a strategy to find out where the low hanging fruit is first, so we could start moving forward on the ones that are available to do sooner than later, and then the ones that have impediments to work on? I mean, give me your thoughts on that.
So, Commissioner Carpenter, thank you for the question. I think that the low-hanging fruit, the things that we've had conversations both from a co-manager perspective as well as a NOAA authorization, although we don't have authorization, we have spoken with them. We certainly don't have complete buy-off, but that increased proposal list is what we think is the low-hanging fruit that we are most likely to achieve with the current infrastructure, current facility location, all the things that we have right now. And so those are the targets that we are trying to achieve early. And again, continue to work in the near term to understand what a long-term plan would be through this master plan process that we hope to have funded, to be able to achieve the longer-term goal of the $50 million in the two major watersheds, Columbia River and Puget Sound, Washington coast. So,
Ron, that's helpful. I would just ask you a quick question on the Marble Mount Hatchery on the Spring and Chinook side. 1.6 million available space increase is pretty significant. And what? It says need water. Is that just a plumbing issue? Because, I mean, I'm fairly familiar with that. There's a lot of water. There's just a matter of getting it to the hatchery. Is that an infrastructure scenario? And then I guess the second part is co-manager's concerns. Is that just a matter of sitting down and talking it through? Is that your thoughts?
So Commissioner Carpenter, thanks for the question. Both really good questions. The water need is possible additional well water for incubation and adult holding. We like to hold Spring Chinook at that facility in well water for health reasons. It's cooler, those types of things until the spawning occurs. Incubation then occurs in well water as well, and then move out to outside ponds where that well water can be transferred as well. I keep saying well a lot. It doesn't sound quite right. It's the water source that we're trying to utilize for the best health for the species that we're rearing at that location. For those who don't know, Marble Mount's about 65 miles off I-5 up in the North Cascades, off Highway 20. The water temperatures up there coming off the foothills of the Cascades is quite cold in all of the surface water options that we have at the facility. And so well water's almost a must to be able to achieve the goals for size at release that we try to put in place. So, and then in addition to that, the co-manager concern question is just making sure that co-managers are comfortable with the production increases. Certainly that gets into more than just the hatchery production, but then what would be the state's proposal for, or the tribal proposals for increased fisheries as those escape the prey availability in which they're targeted. So those conversations are occurring as we're having the production discussions.
Ron, thank you very much for that explanation.
Commissioner McIsaac, sorry to cut you off. Eric has something to say about that topic as well. Sorry.
Yeah, so that's Eric Kenny. So, Commissioner Carpenter, one more thing to add about that is the well water, we actually received some minor works funding, and so we are looking at punching a new well in the next 6 months to be able to increase that production. The co-manager piece, when we met with the co-manager, they would agree to the 400,000 increase, which is in the proposed increase, but not anything beyond that at this point. But there'll be further ongoing discussions about that.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. A question here relative to where this shakes out with regard to in the very near future being able to make progress toward this 50 million target, and the associated question with protection for wild fish. So, and I would say there's a lot of information here, so thank you guys for putting all this together. In the increased proposal column, I see at the very bottom 24 million. And again, this is a question to see how much progress can be made toward the 50 million. I think Commissioner Graybill at the last call said, what's realistic in the near term and what's realistic to take capital construction and other things to do. But if all of this is in the current near term, and I look at that 24 million and I take off, you know, somewhere around 5 million chum salmon, I subtract a bunch of coho, which I haven't done the math on, maybe that gets you down to 20 million. We had Commissioner Graybill's question about these policy limitations, and the commission has not been involved yet in any decision to make a change at Forks Creek Hatchery or at may sell hatchery because the current policy that is in place says don't do that, I think. So if I take those away, because those haven't, they were not part of the original $50 million proposal, which was $30 million in Puget Sound, $20 million in the Columbia, and none on the coast. And I would not like to see some substitutions of the coast and take away from the $20 million goal in the Columbia River, or take away from the $30 million goal in Puget Sound. But if I subtract that, you know, maybe this is somewhere around $15 million. So my question is that without getting into the exact number, in general, is it accurate to come away from this feeling like somewhere around $15 million is a possibility in the near term because it uses holes in the existing capacity at hatcheries? Say that again, we have to coordinate with the governor's office. We have to talk through the ESA constraints if they're there, with our co-managers in the federal government and our tribal co-managers, and the fact that this doesn't have the Snake River Spring Chinook thing in there, the state of Idaho, the state of Washington, and all the rest. But you get an idea that maybe somewhere around $15 million might be possible if all of those things came together without the need for capital construction. And then because there's so many different hatcheries here listed, the protection on wild fish, I just want to make sure that when we see all of these facilities in Puget Sound, that if there's Chinook enhancements here, it's not necessarily for release at those facilities if there's a wild fish concern there, but rather this idea of dead-end bays, Deschutes River, and places where we can still come away from this with some assurance that we're affording the proper protection to wild fish. So I ask that question just because when this is over and people ask about it, I want to be sure and characterize things properly.
Commissioner McIsaac, Ron Warren, thank you for the question. I'll try to address all of the components that you laid out there. So you are correct. In the Chinook column, we have an increase of 15,700 fish that are in proposals now, that if we achieve the coverage through ESA, that we believe we can put into place without major capital investment. There has been some capital investment already through capital budgets that we've had that were in the works to just make a more effective, efficient hatchery system that we operate. Relative to the release sites, all of the production that you see is scheduled to be released at the facility that is named currently. It's those facilities that may be some near term, but that will need some capital investment and construction, like net pens in the dead end bays with a freshwater influence with no wild impacts or very limited wild impacts. Those types of production pieces we hope to be evaluating over the course of the next year. Clarify that with next fiscal year, hoping that we are successful in our capital budget request and are able to work on the master plan with a outside consulting firm and really dig in to start to have those ongoing conversations that will be needed to properly place net pen structures or make modifications to current facilities or even possibly construct new facilities to achieve the goal of $50 million.
Okay, thank you.
Ron, this is Commissioner Carpenter. I don't want to impact this call we're on now, but I just wanted to ask a question that perhaps we could either address at the Fish Committee next week or while we're in session at a brief explanation of where we are currently on the Deschutes Falls hatchery planning program?
I can try to give you that update now. Thank you, Commissioner Carpenter. So we went out to bid earlier this week, I believe, on the Tumwater Falls piece. So the remodel of the existing facility that we have at the park site. I'm not sure if everybody's familiar there, but at the top of the impassable dam that's been there for, or impassable barrier that's been there through time, we have an adult holding and rearing facility that's scheduled to be remodeled, abatement facilities put in so that we can meet water quality standards prior to the construction of the Pioneer Park facility. We're still working through some of the permitting with our sister natural resource agencies for the Pioneer Park. Matter of fact, have a meeting this next week and think that that will continue to proceed. Although you never, I don't have a crystal ball. I wish Tim Burns were on, but I know that he is watching that project very closely. We've talked a couple times this week about both phases of that project, and I think we're on track.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You bet.
So this is Eric Kinney. If there's no more questions on the capacity document, I'm going to switch over to the three budget proposals, which also total up to the $24.175 million. So I'll first cover the proviso dollars, the proviso budget. So this is for production that is a continuation of what we started in fiscal year 19, and we would want to continue in fiscal year 20 and 21. And so this is about $5.55 million production predominantly in North Puget Sound, a little bit in South Sound. I think Seuss Palmer is a tweener. It's kind of in between North and South Sound. The next package is the enhanced fish production, and so this is in our biennial ask that the agency put forward to OFM, and this is for an additional $4 million production, and it is both Chinook, or all Chinook, Coho, and Chum. And then the third request is the Southern Residents Killer Whale production, which is about $14.6 million. That is part of the $4.6 million request that the agency put forward. And that also includes some hatchery pilot studies that will be included in that budget. There's hatchery maintenance, fish health, and other things in that budget proposal. But the pilot studies were also part of the recommendation for recommendation number six.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. On the last tab, the task force recommendation number six, the task force recommendation number six came under the header of increased Chinook production. And this table has Coho and Chum to it as well. So let me ask a couple of questions here, and you can take them as you see. The Coho and the Chum columns don't seem to be associated with the task force recommendation number six. Where else in the task force recommendation do those come from, just so I could understand it? And on the Chinook column, there's $8,400 as opposed to a much larger number. So you said something about a budget request there. I know that in the budget package that the commission endorsed last August, there was $1 million for hatchery enhancements of some sort. And then on September 7th was our policy decision to try to shoot for this $50 million proposal that had a much higher price tag and won't be considered, will be considered by the legislature coming up. So just to be clear on this, this 8.4 million is what could be done kind of immediately, and does not include the other parts of recommendation number six that get into the long run. And why are Coho and Chum, I'm not objecting to that, but I'm just saying, why are those in this thing with a label of recommendation number six?
Commissioner McIsaac, this is Ron Warren. This will be a two-part answer. I'll let Eric hit cleanup. So I do want to clarify that the Proviso Brood Year 19 tab, the 1921 Enhanced Fish Production, as well as the Task Force tab that you're speaking to mainly, all of those, the first two that I spoke to, have been presented to the Commission for approval and have been sent to OFM. The Southern Resident portion is work that we've done to stay up with the task force, and provided on behalf of a request from the governor's office. And in task force recommendation number six, other species are not precluded in that. It just speaks more plainly and clearly about Chinook. And so knowing that there are benefits to the southern resident orca population with increasing coho and chum, that we had these placeholders in there in case the for options for the governor's consideration.
Okay, thank you. And maybe I'll just follow up later on the financial parts of 1921.
And that's fine. We can give you a call afterwards if you'd rather do it that way.
Commissioner Carpenter, Commissioner Thorburn again.
Yes, Commissioner Thorburn.
So just me, we talked about the proviso. There's we have a budget request put forward to the governor's office to carry forward on that. And the WDFW enhanced fish production, we don't have monetary amounts in here, but am I recalling correctly that we approved a monetary amount, that the commission approved a monetary amount in our capital budget proposal that we sent forward to the governor's office? And then on the third one, the task force, we haven't seen a monetary amount yet.
Is that correct? Commissioner Thorburn, if I can, just to run through some quick finances for each of the packages. The 1921 Enhanced Fish Production is $1.75 million. That was part of operating requests that approved previously in the year. The other section, and Eric, what's the
proviso? The proviso is $1.674 million. That's the 837 times two. And in the Southern Resident Killer Whale or Southern Resident Orca proposal is $4.6 million. Of that, $3.9 million of that is for the hatchery production.
Thank you. But that's the only portion of the proposal that is not currently over at the governor's office. Is that correct?
No, Commissioner Thorburn, all three of these pieces have been transmitted to either the governor's office and OFM.
Okay, thank you.
Very welcome.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Well, I guess I'll have to ask the financial question if we're going to get into that. So I understand the proviso part. I believe I understand the enhanced fish production part, which had to do with the proposal that came forward with staff. And then we had on September 7th a proposal to shoot for a substantial increase in hatchery Chinook for prey purposes. And the motion asked that the staff put that forward in the budget arena as well as in the task force arena on a parallel track. And that on September 7th, we saw some very big numbers, $100 million, for example. And that was partly because it included these long-range capital construction things, not in the immediate sense, but in not using existing capacity, but also to get to that big of a number, a recognition that it was going to take some capital construction that would involve a lot of funding. So when I hear that the task force recommendation request is $4.6 million, far below what the number is to achieve $50 million, while at the same time I hear recommendation number six talking about substantial increases in Chinook production and mentioning the commission's motion on September 7th, I've got a discontinuity here about where the proposal is for the capital construction that is somewhere, I think I recall a number like $100 million that is in the long run. And so I didn't hear that mentioned. And when I look at this, I'm presuming that the task force, what's listed as the task force recommendation, is just the immediate current and not the long run. So I wonder if you could speak to that.
Commissioner Carpenter, could I just add a question to that that I think is related?
Yes, Commissioner Thorburn.
Thank you. So we've been hearing about the proposal for master planning. Is that the funding, because I think that relates to the long range. We've been discussing that there's a need to really look at this comprehensively through a master plan. Where is that funding request? Is it on one of these spreadsheet requests?
Commissioner Thorburn and Commissioner McIsaac, I'll try to answer your question. So what you see before you are operating requests. And I know that when we were walking through and seeking commission approval on budgets that were sent across the street, we had a southern resident killer whale section that we knew was going to be left blank, and we have since filled that in our work with the task force and the governor's office. You've also been briefed on and approved a capital budget request that is separate from the ongoing shorter term operating budgets and short-term increases in production to benefit southern resident orca population. So we did not and have not included the major capital needs to try to achieve that $50 million at this point. Commissioner McIsaac, you're right. It was well over $100 million. But right now, to try to have a full comprehensive understanding of what we would do, how we would do it through permanent and or temporary facilities is where we've requested through our capital budget for the $1 million master planning project to be put in place hopefully next year to begin that work to look at the 80 facilities that we do operate and see how we can either partner or modify facilities to continue to strive to reach the goals that we have for ourselves.
Thanks, Ron, for the reminder.
You're very welcome. And
thank you.
Commissioner McIsaac, did I answer? I tried to keep some notes. I think I touched on everything, but I may have missed something there.
No, thank you. It's all quite a bit to try to jumble around at one point in time, but I think you've answered it. And the million-dollar planning exercise that's needed to get some better numbers for the long run That is included in the 4.6 million?
No. So the 4.6 is for on-the-ground work, either through pilot projects, research, production, fish health, facility maintenance, those types of things that are needed for us to have that production on the ground. The $1 million is through the capital budget, separate from operating, and that's the $1 million piece. And that's our the agency's number one ask through our budget process and capital budget process for the 1921 season and biennium and through this upcoming legislative session.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions at this point from the commission?
This is Commissioner Baker.
Commissioner Baker.
This isn't really a question. It's a bit of a summation, I think, of listening to all the questions and all the answers. I wanted to just make it clear that our ask is, we believe that we have made it real clear that Fish and Wildlife Commission would like to, believes it's necessary to put in at least 50 million new fish as soon as possible. The as soon as possible is the difficult part, because we can't ask for capital money or operating money for bienniums further out than the next one. And so I think the governor, the governor's office, the task force, and us are clear in our request. We talked to the governor about this when we met with him. This is what we believe we need and what we're willing to sanction, what we're asking for. But what we have to do in the short term is make sure that we understand exactly what we're going to be asking for in the future, and that's what the $1 million in planning money is for. And then on top of that, I think Commissioner McIsaac's questions were designed in part to make it real clear that we're not trying to go back to the bad old ways of just throwing fish around everywhere we can, and we've been accused of that. So as commission policy, what we're saying is, no, we do not want these new fishery, this new fish, the hatchery fish we're talking about, putting in the Sound and on the coast to impact our wild fisheries. And I think we need to say that often and loudly, that we have learned from some of the mistakes we've made in the past. So yes, we want to put a bunch more fish in the water as soon as possible, and we don't want to impact our wild fish stocks. So I think that's our summation, and I think that's our policy push. And it's just important that we, as we get into the details and ask our staff to push forward the details, we keep pretty firm on those two points.
Yeah,
Commissioner Baker, right. Is well stated. Yeah, one thing I just wanted to comment, Barbara, that was very well stated, and thank you, and I support fully what you just said. Brad?
Yeah, and echoing that, and your point, the points that you made, Barbara, were reinforced at the ORCA meetings. So I think we have been consistent, and I think we've been heard.
Thank you, Brad. Okay, do we have any other comments or data to review on agenda item B? Hearing none, we will move to, I'm sorry, who did I interrupt?
Yeah, sorry, Commissioner Carpenter. I think there's just a little bit more detail that we wanted to share.
Okay, thank you. I didn't see that.
Yeah, Commissioner Carpenter, this is Eric Kinney. Wanted to just mention a couple other things, which is the proposals that we received from the tribal co-managers. There was a request from the agency to look at their facilities to increase production and to provide budget summaries that we could send over to the governor's office. We received several budget proposals for increases in the tune of about another 5 million total fish. And then we're also working with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in Oregon. And those totals are around 8 million additional production that they have capacity for, 8.75 million to be exact, that Oregon and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has capacity for in the Columbia River for the Oregon and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. They're lacking funding is the issue there. So just wanted to mention those two things.
And for further clarification, this is Ron. We rolled together the tribal requests for the governor's office so he could, or the governor's office could, review that as part of their consideration for what they might do for the southern resident orca population recovery for this coming biennium. The other thing that we have been doing is we've met with the big PUDs on the east side to talk with them about production and possible capacities that they might have, and for them to try to identify if we were to fund production at their facilities, what those costs might be. So we hope to have not left any initial rock undisturbed, and in an effort to try to document and have as many options available to us as we proceed through the master planning process and the that we hope to go through this next year or two, and again to try to achieve the goal that's been established. And with that, commissioners, that concludes what we had for you.
Well, I this is Commissioner Carpenter. I would like to share my appreciation for the efforts that you folks have done along with your staff. That was quite a presentation briefing, and look forward to hearing more in the future. Any other wrap-up comments on that item from the commission?
Thank you.
Okay. All right, hearing none.